It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk with the weekend host of All Things Considered, Michelle Martin. She'll be in Wisconsin tomorrow for a discussion on the purpose of higher education that will bring together students, journalists, legislators, and more to share their thoughts. First, today, President Donald Trump signed a revised executive order of his travel ban barring migrants from predominantly Muslim countries. This order is updated from a January ban on residents from 7 Middle Eastern and African countries. That travel ban began on the day it was issued and was blocked by federal judges. Kimmy King joins us now to talk about the new executive order and how it looks different from the previous one and what legal challenges could emerge. She's a professor of political science at the University of North Texas in Denton. Kimmy, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here.
Well, what's different about this revised travel ban from the original issued 6 weeks ago?
I think the Trump administration would argue it's a leaner, cleaner executive order than the first time around. The chaos that was precipitated the first time was a function of not having consulted with relevant departments about what is the best strategy going forward and not fully articulating what the government's interests were and how it related to the persons that it was seeking to limit travel on. And so that's where the real crux came in, that it was in somehow a religious ban, that it was overbroad, and that it wasn't getting at the real interests that the Trump administration were saying, you know, needs to be protected.
And you referenced the provision in the previous ban that granted special status to members of religious minorities. That's gone in this version, and critics said that gave that privilege to Christians. Will that remove most of the arguments left against it from a legal standpoint, Kimmy?
That does limit that, but you still have a number of due process concerns about what rights of access perhaps family members may have for trying to get family members over. It also focused in on those that have visas already and tried to clarify when and under what circumstances those could be limited. It's certainly much more open as it relates to the visa holders this time around, and that also addresses some of the concerns about due process. It didn't go into effect right away. It has 10 days to go into effect. That was another concern, to give folks notice that this could happen. And most importantly, it eliminated Iraq, which everyone said, the Defense, State Department, Homeland Security said was a concern about not allowing Iraqi persons over here.
Based on your perspective, do you think that these changes, the ones you just outlined, fundamentally alter the substance of the law?
I think they give the Trump administration more credibility that it's trying to protect the national interest. But remember, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision that struck down the executive order really raised concerns about whether or not President Trump had shown and properly provided the proper national interest. Recall that he's claiming he has the authority to do this under a 1950s law, which Congress gave him the authority to, in essence, put in place restrictions if there are persons who are a threat to the national interest. But given that the six countries that now remain have not been where terrorist threats have come from in the United States, I guarantee when they have the arguments on this case, and they will, there will be much consternation about whether or not those six countries are really where we should be focusing.
Kimmy King is with us now, professor of political science at the University of North Texas, and she's joining us to look at the new executive order that President Trump signed today from a legal perspective. And Kimmy, what do you see as the biggest changes in this new revised travel ban?
So the biggest changes are the narrowing on Iraq, especially because that meets the concerns of both the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, and also getting rid of that religious ban, the religious preference, I should say, for Christians who are seeking persecution. And it also recognizes that you won't have as much of a showdown between the Congress and the President over this granting of visas. If you look at who is allowed to regulate immigration under the Constitution, that's an authority that traditionally falls to Congress under Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. But because Congress has delegated its authority to the President over time for dealing with what we'll just kind of call daily operations relating to immigration, that's where the potential power struggle could come in. So part of what is going to be interesting to see is whether or not this immigration update satisfies the constituency of those members of Congress who felt like it was an outrage. I'm not sure that it necessarily will, because there are still congressional Republicans who have concerns about this, but certainly the new executive order has taken some of the heat off of this boiling pot that we have.
Well, Democrats, some Democrats at the announcement today, still very vocal in their criticism of this revised ban, saying it's an anti-Muslim ban. What are we hearing from some of those other congressional Republicans that you were talking about?
So the larger concern goes back to this national interest and whether or not we're truly protecting the national interest. And additionally, remember, there were protocols that were previously in place regarding the vetting of persons coming from those countries. What is the meaning of this extraordinary order, and what exactly does it allow for the tightening of by virtue of the president? It may also be that some congressional Republicans in general may be concerned about executive overreach. That is, it's not necessarily about this immigration provision necessarily, but it may be about just delegating away their authority on a number of critical national securities to the president, and they don't want to create a precedent of somehow looking like they're not going to thoroughly vet the executive orders that Donald Trump puts forward.
So given that, what do you see as a possible route both for President Trump and his administration to defend that the new version of the travel ban and for critics of it to attack it in the courts?
So one of the things that's interesting is that right now the Trump administration, President Trump seems to be indicating that they may take a two-track legal approach. That is, he's not necessarily saying that that first ban wasn't within his authority or that the Ninth Circuit was wrong. And so he might still leave open a challenge going forward on that, but that he would also pursue any kind of challenge that comes up, especially under this leaner, cleaner, as I'll call it, executive order. So it really comes down to what kind of backlash there is, I would say, within the next week, and the amount of either support or opposition that congressional Republicans may feel. To the extent there's a number of congressional Republicans that can amass a critical mass to line up with Democrats and perhaps challenge him on the provisions that relate to concerns about granting of visa holders or how much he's going to actually confer with congressional Republicans on these kinds of national security issues going forward, may be the kinds of things that they're looking at. Remember, part of what congressional Republicans were so unhappy about this last go-round is that there have been virtually no consultation with the relevant administrative agencies, nor with the, you know, Republican delegation. And so I think that there's part of this is just part of a larger power struggle between the President Trump's administration and the direction and the vision that congressional Republicans would like to see national security go.
Kimmy, thank you so much for joining us today.
You bet.
That was Kimmy King, professor of political science at the University of North Texas in Denton. She joined us there to look at the new executive order that President Trump signed today from a legal perspective.